show, and you can bring up anything toll-free. It's the live Saturday edition, by the way, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231 is the toll-free packet8.net line. That's 1-800-259-9231. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All of the features there are completely free, so enjoy those. Those other radio talk show hosts, they want to charge you for access to their sites. We do it free. That's the way it ought to be. freetalklive.com. Well, coming up here, Mark, we're going to do a today in history sort of moment here in America. There was something that happened back in revolutionary times that I guess is worth noting, and we'll do that here in a few moments. But first, we're going to take a trip to Somalia, of all places. Yes, Somalia. You know, the movie Black Hawk Down, that's mm-hmm. what Somalia is. So for those of you Americans who aren't really too sure about it, there was a movie made about it in the late 1990s when they essentially ousted the government at the time, and there really hasn't been a government ever since in Somalia. And what has the result of that been? Has it been chaos? Has it been violence in the streets? Or have things not been as bad as you might expect them to be when a government goes away? Now, to be fair, there is still a little bit of violence in Somalia, as the article from the Boston Globe will report, but it's more of a result of the violent overthrow of the government than anything else. When you use violence to overthrow a government, inevitably the people that try to fill the gap are going to be violent people as well, unless you can actually get rid of a government with the spread of an idea, which is what I would like to do. I'd like to at least minimize, you'd like to minimize government, I'd like to end it entirely. And I think that the best way to do it is by spreading the idea that government doesn't work, that government doesn't solve problems, it just makes things worse. If we can get people to understand and agree with that on their own, then governments will become completely ineffective. Somalia didn't quite do it that way. They violently overthrew their government, and so here's what has resulted over the past almost 15 years now. From Mirka, Somalia, when Abdurrahman Farah, who's blind, returned to his native Somalia 2 years ago, his friends in Britain worried about him because of the country's lawlessness. But Farah wasn't deterred by the peril, or by the lack of a functioning government to provide services or security. He started a school for the blind in Mogadishu, the capital, by raising tens of thousands. Well, I guess, can there be a capital if there's no more government?
Formerly known as the capital of Somalia.
Right. By raising tens of thousands of dollars from local businesses and enrolling 22 students, with 100 more currently on a waiting list. Farah is among the thousands of Somalis who have adapted and plunged ahead with businesses, schools, and service organizations, despite the continuing violence and leadership void. As Somalia, and by the way, this is it's indicative of American journalists, they always sort of, they consider government to be leadership. They consider government elected officials to be leaders.
Right, and they also rebut that. Equate anarchy to chaos.
Right. They're wrong on both counts. Government officials are not leaders. They're people just like you. I don't consider myself led by President Bush. I don't consider myself led by the local representatives or senators. Those are people who are allegedly elected to represent another group of people. They are not leaders. In fact, they're supposed to be servants, right? I mean, that's the way it was supposed to originally be. If you look at the founding of America and the concepts of the founding fathers and the Constitution.
Yeah, the idea is that these people would be volunteers, basically.
Yeah. So I'd like to throw that right back and say that it's not a leadership void in Somalia. It's just an absence of government. As Somalia this week took another important step to resurrect its national government after 15 years without one, many Somalis say they would welcome even a minimalist government, one that would guarantee their security but also allow their recent initiatives to flourish. They worry about a return to a dictatorial government that would quash many freedoms, including a free market system. In the meantime, Somalis operate as if the status quo will hold for a while. Farah said during a recent business trip to this coastal city about 60 miles south of Mogadishu, quote, "We're not waiting for a government anymore. We've been waiting so long for a government, now there's a belief that Somalis can advance on their own. In the absence of a government, some businesses and grassroots initiatives such as Farah's school have thrived. Mobile phone calls, for instance, are the cheapest in Africa because of competing brands and no regulatory agency charging a levy. No one pays taxes. Importers pay landing fees at ports instead, as well as larger amounts to warlords for the services of armed security guards." You heard it right. There's actual protection being provided by the warlords.
I would think so.
Right. Instead of government claiming to protect you and then robbing you at gunpoint and then claiming to protect you while they steal money from you, these guys are actually competing for protection services. But insecurity still haunts the lives of Somalia's 9 million people. Warlords and militiamen, what local journalists call armed governors, battle for territory. In some areas, an uneasy peace exists. In others, fighting is the norm. Late last month, Mogadishu erupted in the worst street fighting in several years, leaving more than 20 people dead and 80 injured in battles, in part over the rising influence of conservative Islamic courts. Farah said bullets whizzed by his school, and he was briefly caught in a crossfire in a market. But the fighting stopped as quickly as it erupted. "I'll stay," said Farah. Some believe that the recent violence is also linked to the latest effort to resurrect a national government, in that people are fighting back and saying, you know what, no, we're all right without this whole government thing. No, no, keep it away. You want to impose this? We're going to fight you. And that's essentially what's going on here. 13 previous such attempts, none of which, 13 previous attempts, none of which succeeded in convening a parliament, and all of which ended in renewed violence, had failed since 1991. That was a disastrous year for Somalia. The last president, strongman Siad Barre, fled Mogadishu. Two rival factions engaged in all-out war in the capital, killing at least for control of the government.
Right.
Killing at least 14,000 people, and the former British protectorate of Somaliland in North Somalia declared independence. But on February 26, the transitional parliament convened for the first time on Somali soil since it was formed 18 months ago. Now, as I understand it, and I don't know if this article goes into it, the UN has been behind this. The UN has been behind the reforming of a government in Somalia.
Right. The people of Somalia seem to be getting along fine, as far as they're concerned, at least.
So, it met for a single day, recessed, and then reopened this Monday, establishing committees to start its work, a small but vital step. I don't know what it's vital to, the vital of continuing governmental rule. Even holding the meetings in the west central community of Baidoa, a town without a single hotel room, inadequate water supply, and bordering an area suffering the worst drought in several decades, represented a breakthrough. Trucks brought in water, food, and tents. Parliament members were sleeping three and four to a room in rented houses. Many Somalis, even though hardened by tumultuous years, guardedly are holding out hope for a new government, even if it takes lawmakers months to work out details in Baidoa. But they also believe that even a 14th failure wouldn't doom the country. It's amazing that even after 15 years, there are still some people that want government to come back. Life has to go on, even in Somalia, said Momad Arush, country representative of the Italian Charity Coordination Committee of the Organization for Voluntary Service, based in Mirka. For many Americans, the overriding perception of Somalia remains frozen in time from that violent day in October 1993, when U.S. Special Forces and Somali street fighters, plus armed women and children, battled in the streets of Mogadishu. 18 U.S. troops and hundreds of Somalis were killed, and the corpses of U.S. soldiers were dragged through the streets.
Mm.
And that's not because they hate people in America. It's because they didn't appreciate U.S. troops coming into their country. Months later, the U.S.
It's
mission,
a shame.
Which started as, it's a shame we went to their country.
It's a shame that those people had to die.
Which started as Operation Restore Hope, aiming to create a secure environment for the delivery of food aid, ended. Today, the biggest dangers remain clan violence, as well as an emerging threat. The country's home to perhaps a few hundred sympathizers or members of Al-Qaeda, according to Somalian Western analysts who've studied the situation. Mogadishu, even before the latest surge in violence, has been largely off-limits to Westerners because of recent threats to kidnap or kill them. The UN has also kept its expatriate staff from traveling to a southern city because of suspected terrorist activities. Both areas are believed to have cells of Al-Qaeda sympathizers. Of course, the Al-Qaeda claims are going to be used as excuses to send more troops in. But by many indicators, most Somalis have adapted to the volatile circumstances, creating private companies that lay water pipes or string electric wires to homes.
Can you imagine?
What?
People can have running water in their homes or
private companies
or electricity without the government?
In Somalia, of all places, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the third world. This is in Africa. I mean, where do they get the technology from? How do these people know how to lay these water pipes and these electric lines? Well, guess what? When the marketplace is left to its own initiatives, people in search of profit figure out these things. They set up money transfer operations that distribute tens of millions of dollars every month sent by Somali expatriates to their families and friends, and establishing private schools that often rely on volunteer teachers. Whoa, you mean that if we actually get the government out of education, that people will step up and actually volunteer to teach? You mean that people aren't actually demanding a paycheck for this?
Oh, I don't think that would last long. I would think professional teachers would step in pretty quickly.
But my point is, people are doing it voluntarily.
Mm.
More's on the way. This is Free Talk Live, the latest in Somalia. It's Free Talk Live, take control.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, Ted Anderson for Midas Resources. It's March 16, 2007, and gold is at $652.40, and 1 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $675.75, $334.77 for half ounce, and $169.32 for quarter ounce coins at $675.75, $334.77, and $169.32. We've been hearing the USA has been spending money faster than tax collections. Now the government has published the document that sounds the alarm. That's right, the United States Government Accountability Office, the GAO, has published the long-term fiscal outlook document, clearly stating that the federal debt burden is spiraling out of control. This will directly affect programs like Social Security to FDIC's ability to insure bank deposits. Taxation and inflationary printing of the U.S. dollar are inevitable pressures facing the economy. Get this document free by calling 800-686-2237. The U.S. GAO has spelled it out in black and white. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
I love the new sandal styles, but before I discovered Nonex Nail Gel, I was too embarrassed about my toenails to wear them.
If your nails look dark or discolored, now there's a solution besides hiding them. It's a patented nail gel called Nonex. All-natural Nonex clears out the source of the problem, the dark or yellow material that builds up under nails called keratin debris.
Nonex Nail Gel is absolutely amazing. My toenails now look clear, and I'm not embarrassed to wear sandals anymore.
Nonex Nail Gel removes yellowing keratin debris, is podiatrist recommended, and has been clinically shown to improve nail clarity. It's also money-back guaranteed. You'll find Nonex Gel, spelled N-O-N-Y-X, in the foot care section at Rite Aid, Walgreens, Long's, Brooks, Duane Reed, and independent pharmacies nationwide, or online at drugstore.com. Nonex Nail Gel, for clearer nails and feet that look great in sandals.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com. This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up anything toll-free, 800-259-9231, the packet 8.net toll-free line. It is the live Saturday edition, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us online at freetalklive.com. Updates are available. Get signed up. We'll clue you in whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show. Get on the list. Go to updates.freetalklive.com to get signed up for free, of course. That's updates.freetalklive.com.
SACL CAI has a full-orbed approach to account recovery. It's really three companies in one. They do collections, early outbilling, and they purchase charged-off receivables. SACL knows that the way they treat your customer reflects on you. Their staff is respectful, they record every call, and they have the best equipment money can buy. so that your business is handled as efficiently as possible. See their banner at freetalklive.com or call 1-800-544-6359. That's 800-544-6359. Do business with businesses that support FTL.
Now, we're talking about Somalia. It's one of the countries in Africa, and as you may know, in the 1990s, the early 90s, the government was ousted violently. And unfortunately, when violence is involved in the ouster of a government, there's usually violence that follows that. And that's just the way it seems to be. But all things considered, considering all of the violence that Somalis have seen, it's an amazing story what has happened over the past decade and a half, over the last 15 years in Somalia. The things that have surprised a lot of people. Because a lot of people believe that without government around, then there's going to be chaos. There's going to be a lot of terrible things happening, and government keeps everybody safe and secure. When, in fact, that's just not the case. In fact, government is nothing more than an armed gang of people acting as though they're keeping people safe and secure. It's all kind of an illusion. What they do is they play politics, and they give people who are their friends, the elected officials, they help their friends out who might own companies, and they give them perks, and then they punish the enemies. They punish their enemies by maybe giving adding more regulations to their business or somehow harming their businesses. In the case of Somalia, there's no government around to trade favors or to punish enemies. So it's just sort of a blank slate, if you will. Now, it's not perfect at all. There's still some violence going on in Somalia, and it's because people keep trying to reinstall governments there. And there are certain factions that are saying, no, we don't want your governments, keep them the heck out. And then there's the whole warlord factor as well, and we'll address that here in moments. But this is from the Boston Globe, just sort of giving you an update on what's going on in Somalia. So, in many cases, what is happening is validating some of the things we say here on Free Talk Live, and that is that were certain services left to the marketplace would easily be able to handle them. As this points out, Somalis have adapted to the volatile circumstances, creating private companies that lay water pipes or string electric wires to homes, setting up money transfer operations that distribute tens of millions of dollars every month sent by Somali expatriates to their families and friends, and establishing private schools that often rely on volunteer teachers. Now, you're right, Mark, that here in America, certainly teachers are going to get paid, but whenever we talk about ending government education on this show, inevitably the objection comes up, well, what about the poor? What about the people that can't afford an education to pay $2,000 or $3,000 a year to send their kids to school? And our answer is always, well, charity. Charity will take care of it. And we usually back it up by the evidence of, well, Americans are the most charitable people in the world. We give billions of dollars every year to various different charities. And if we were to have all of our tax money that we currently pay out to government kept in our pockets, we'd be able to give even more to those charities. And I think that's a good answer. But I think it's also important to point out that even in Somalia, where they don't have the wealth that Americans have, they still manage to put together schools for the
kids
poor.
Are getting an education. Can you imagine?
Right. In Somalia.
Without public government schools.
Right, and people who care, because people care, even in Somalia people care, they're stepping forward and volunteering their services to help kids. In Mogadishu alone, a city of 3 million, 100,000 students attend private schools, many of them funded by Islamic charities. Hey, you know what? We were right. Charities really can send kids to school.
And in this country, it'd now likely be Christian charity as opposed to Islamic ones.
Or whatever. The absence of a central government has many, many people used to functioning without it, says Nuruddin Farah, Somalia's most famous writer, now living in Cape Town, said in a recent interview. He visits Somalia regularly. Christian Balsev Olasin, UNICEF's country director in Somalia, said the growth of private initiatives is easy to understand, even with the risks. Why, he asked? Well, because they can make a business out of it. In Jawar, about 50 miles west of Mogadishu, Hunsi Ahmed Aral started his private water business a few years ago with help from UNICEF, which rehabilitated the town's largest water tank. Aral ran into trouble in his first year, though, when several warlords demanded money, sometimes as much as $100 a day.
Protection money.
Yes.
Kind of like taxes.
But one warlord, Mohammed Omar Habeb, also known as Mohammed Dare, eventually wiped out the other warlords. Now Dare, who is the self-declared governor, charges Aral $50 a month for security. Hmm. So the warlords initially wanted $100 a day. This guy came in, wiped him out, and now is charging only $50 a month for security. Aral says,
competition.
The business owner says, we call it a public-private partnership. Aral's business is flourishing. Remember, he provides water. In fact, drinking water to the town of 36,000 at a cost of 70 cents for every 250 gallons. That seems pretty reasonable. 70 cents for 250 gallons?
Seems like it to me.
And has enough profit to also pay the salaries of all 14 teachers at one school as a community service. Hmm. He says, we do it better than the old government. So can you imagine this? The guy who's providing water to the town and the, just feels like building a school and providing education for the kids in town because he's got enough evil profit to do that with.
Well, the UN just wants to rush in there and put a government in place, don't they?
Apparently they do.
So that they can run it inefficiently. Because say what you want about government. Necessary, not necessary. I believe that in some areas the government's necessary. It's not water. You cannot argue the government is inefficient and bureaucratic.
Yeah, you can't argue that it isn't those things, right?
I said it is. Government is inefficient.
It is inefficient, right.
And it is bureaucratic.
Right.
And, you know, that's just what happens. So if it's going to provide water, well, it's going to do it inefficiently and bureaucratically.
Across town in a particularly poor section, one elementary school is run by a local women's group, which recruited volunteer teachers. Alma Mehmed Ahaji, the head of Jawar's women's group, said, since the government collapsed, almost all the men were involved in violence and war. It's been the women who have built back the livelihoods and helped the community service.
Wow.
In two canvas tents one day recently, four teachers gave lessons on mathematics, Arabic, and Somali to 170 students. I love education, said Kajiza Abukadir, I'm trying my best, Abukadir Omari, 8, who had never gone to school until this one opened 2 months ago. I love it so much that I want to be a teacher. In Merca, the Italian charity, I mean, what a great attitude. They're being taught on a private basis, so inevitably they're actually enjoying their education. I mean, by 8 years old, when I was in government school, I remember we were already being burned by the system. People were already, it was already cool to be stupid. And that sort of thing, that education sucked and school sucked. It didn't take very long for kids to figure that out in government schools.
Yeah, I think I liked school most of the time, until it got to be high school. Of course, that was government school.
In Merca, the Italian charity COSV has been supporting 3 hospitals, 11 health clinics, and 9 small health offices for many years. So, but its funding ran out 2 years ago, forcing health institutions to support themselves, said the health manager for Somalia. When projects used to end here, the programs would collapse, but this time it was different. They've found money themselves for 2 years. Among the sources, small patient fees, community groups, and Somalis living abroad. Imagine this! They're providing health care without government help, Mark!
Oh, and supposedly that's how we were supposed to do it in this country, but we're not doing
on the
that.
Way. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops is the original formula that was copied by others but never duplicated. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by a master herbalist, Jim Strauss, after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. And Jim said no. He developed Strauss Heart Drops, the formula that has been copied by others but never been surpassed. Get the original Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.99. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. You've probably heard about the other products that have tried to copy the Strauss formula. Well, get the original Strauss Heart Drops by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you can really do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit TornadoAir.com or go to Pep Boys, Napa, or AutoZone today.
So we're back, and we've got more music coming up in just a second. But first, this news just in. Looks like the government and private banks are liquidating houses. These are homes that have been foreclosed, confiscated, or repossessed, and they may be sold for little or no money down. For all listeners whose last names start with the letters A through N, you can get a list of these foreclosures by calling 1-800-401-6788. Listeners' names starting with O through Z should call tomorrow. Now, it says here, every house must be sold. The government and banks are very motivated to sell these homes, and they may be sold for little or no money down. Looks like there's currently over 40,000 foreclosures being liquidated. Now, homes may be sold for little or no money down. If your last name begins with A through N, get your list by calling CRN at 1-800-401-6788. Everyone else, call tomorrow. No credit? Hey, it's okay. For a foreclosure list, call 1-800-401-6788. 1-800-401-6788.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean the hard to find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
This is Free Talk Live, Saturday edition. You take control, bring up anything, 800-259-9231. That's the Packet8.net toll-free line for you, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us online, freetalklive.com. The wiki's there. It's like the listener editable version of our website. In fact, it's way bigger than our website is. There's 1,200 pages, more than 1,200 pages, created by listeners like you. And you can go there and edit it to your heart's content, or just surf around, wiki.freetalklive.com. I think you'll find it really interesting. wiki.freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It's your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That is freestateproject.org. We are talking about Somalia and some of the interesting things that have happened over there in the absence of government. And one of those things is that, well, businesses are able to spring up at a moment's notice. Nobody has to go and ask some government bureaucracy for permission to make a living for themselves anymore.
You mean the guy who's providing water isn't poisoning everybody with his water?
Believe it or not, he's not. In fact, I had an email come in recently that suggested, and I'll do my best to pull it up here, that suggested that very thing would happen were we to go to a free market here, that companies would just start poisoning people, and it was just absolutely absurd. It's not happening in Somalia. It wouldn't happen here. Customers, business owners want their customers to live so they can continue buying things.
If a company were to make erroneous claims and it caused somebody harm, you would be able to bring it up in court. I mean, that's how that issue would be solved. Let's face it, the tobacco companies do poison their customers.
Yeah, but they know they're hurting themselves. It's not like you're drinking water and there's also arsenic in it. It's tobacco, and you know that breathing smoke into your lungs is going to harm you. I don't think you need a Surgeon General's warning to figure out that might be damaging to your health.
I would concur with you that they don't need the warning, but tobacco companies altered tobacco. I mean, it's not just tobacco. If you smoke cigars,
chemicals in there.
If you smoke cigars and inhale them, I mean good hand-rolled cigars and inhale them, you're not going to have the problems with lung cancer that you are likely to have with cigarettes. There's a lot of chemicals that they've added to cigarettes that make them dangerous.
Yeah, well, buyer beware. I mean, it's still dangerous to put smoke in your lungs either way. Whatever chemicals they've added to it, you know in advance of smoking that cigarette that there's a chance that it could damage you.
I still say the court systems would handle stuff like that.
1-800-259-9231 is the packet8.net toll-free line. So talking about just some of the ways the market will operate in the absence of government regulation. And let's go to the phones and talk to John in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey, John. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm listening to this about Somalia, and I'm really glad and happy to hear that things are going better there than they had previously. But those folks better be pretty damn careful. If this fellow that's setting up the water company over there is taking a loan from UNICEF, UNICEF is a United Nations program. So they're dealing with one of the biggest gangs that exist on the planet. You know, they have long-term intentions. If they're taking loans, it's kind of like dealing with the mafia, I suppose.
I don't think it was a loan. According to the article, they rehabilitated the town's water container, essentially, whatever functions as a water tower over there. I guess they rehabilitated that, so I don't know if there was a loan involved.
I just hope that they'll be very careful, because if the United Nations starts to get its hands on water supplies and electric and roads and other infrastructure, you know, this may be the breeding ground for, instead of having a national government, having a world government.
Yeah, they'd really like that.
I hope the Somalian people are wise enough to just say, stay the hell out. Hope they all act like Russell Canning. Don't take their loans. Don't take their promises. Don't take their BS. Stay the hell away from us. We'll be okay.
Yep, exactly right. And it seems like they are going to be okay as long as this the next attempt at a government fails, as the last 14 attempts have. And if anything, it may very well be the warlords that are actually successfully keeping the government at bay.
Well, it's funny. I don't know a lot about the history of Ireland, but being St. Patrick's Day, I recall reading years ago when people were trying to take Ireland, one of the problems that big governments always had trying to take over that country or that island was that it was controlled locally by, you know, what today would be called warlords. There were various types of courts. Things were handled so decentralized that when people came in and tried to fight against the Celts, they just had nothing that they could grasp.
There was nothing to fight.
There were no reins of power to
take
hold of.
It wasn't that there was nothing to fight, because they would always fight and kill the people. But there was nothing that they could grab hold of.
Right,
once they get done warring on everybody, then what are you going to grab? When
that's
you have no government,
point.
There's nothing for the invader to grab.
Right, there's no spoils. There's no infrastructure for them to take hold of. There are no police forces for them to capture and use for their own purposes.
I'm going to need to go back and look at that little bit of history there, and I hope that Somalia can repeat that, because this could be the, you know, the shining example in the world.
It could be, but they need the problem, though.
They've got a lot
John,
of problems.
They've got problems, and the problem is they didn't get rid of their government because they thought government was a bad idea. They just got rid of their government because they didn't like that particular government, and
well,
they did
like
it on a violent
Union.
Basis.
They got rid of their communist regime, which
right.
is also generations that have become accustomed to that.
Sure.
And
now look what they have.
It shows the type of struggle that all of us are up against. There's a culture everywhere in the world that we've become used to thinking that government is an answer to lots of things.
Right, now
but
in the Soviet Union...
There are some small examples, like Ireland, you know, centuries ago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Somalia is an example of something that's beginning today.
Now, in the Soviet Union is another example of moving in the right direction. Somalia moving in the right direction by not having a government. Unfortunately, they went about it the wrong way in that it was a violent overthrow. But in the Soviet Union, they decentralized, at least in the Soviet Union. They're no longer this one big government. There's however many different states that it divided up into, and as a result of those states dividing up, there's been more competition, and I believe it's Estonia that's really the shining example of the most free market of the former Soviet states. So because those states are no longer bound together by the Soviet Union, they're setting their policies independently of one another. There's some degree of competition going on there, and so conditions have improved. Sure, there are still corrupt governments there.
This reminds me of something like I read in the history books. Wasn't that kind of what the United States was supposed to be? Independent states?
Yeah.
There would be some competition among us?
That was the original idea, which is why I think it would be...
Maybe we need to take a look at that one, too.
I agree, which is why I'm a huge supporter of secession and getting the heck out of this United States thing.
Look up New Hampshire, dude.
It's been an abject failure, and John, thank you for the call. Appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. You know, you look at centralization around the world. Look at what is going on in Europe with the European nations now joining together to form the European Union. That's not making things better for people. That's making it more bureaucratic. It's making it more centrally controlled. In the Soviet Union, where they decentralized, there's more competition between the states. Therefore, things are better. They're not great. You still got Vladimir Putin in Russia and all.
Yeah, Russia's having all kinds of problems.
There's corrupt governments there still, but regardless, Estonia is doing better. Some of the other countries are doing far better than they used to under old Soviet rule. And so it's more evidence, and as though we needed more evidence, it's more evidence that decentralization is the answer. And that's why I'm a huge proponent of secession right here in the United States. I have no love for the federal government. They don't do anything except enrich themselves and their friends and punish their enemies, just like all political things. There's nothing different about them.
You know, if you have any questions about decentralization, ask yourself this. Would you like it if the government grew all the food? It sounds scary,
doesn't
it?
We'd all die.
There'd be bread lines, you can believe that, just like there was in the Soviet Union. If the government was in charge of growing food, then we would all be hungry. So, you know, if the government's no good at delivering something as important as food, why would we want all these other services like garbage collection, water, electricity, delivered by various local and state governments?
Indeed. Now let's flash back and go back in time to revolutionary times here in America and what was going on hundreds of years ago to this very day. You've got the story, don't you, Mark?
Well, it has a lot to do with Boston Tea Party.
We'll talk about it here in moments. 800-259-9231. And if I've got time, I did pull up the email about the guy that thinks we're all going to die of E. coli if we went back to a free market system. More on the way. Your calls as well. If you make them, 800-259-9231. This is the live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live.
Right now, 65% of Americans are overweight. Experts say by the year 2010, that number will increase to 75% and 35% will be obese. Because of these deadly statistics, Dr. Joel Wallach, host of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, has done extensive research and has found what he believes is the biggest breakthrough in weight loss in 50 years. It's called SlenderFX. SlenderFX opens the door for a healthy metabolism, permanent weight loss, reduction of low thyroid symptoms, and considerably increased energy by helping to balance your leptin levels. Finally, a weight loss breakthrough you can trust. Go to nofatsnow.com and discover the amazing benefits of SlenderFX today. Take the 90-day challenge just in time for summer. If it's not everything we say and more, simply return the empty bottles and get your money back, guaranteed. Visit nofatsnow.com or call 800-972-8211. That's 800-972-8211. And for a limited time only, find out how you can get a free bottle of SlenderFX by going to nofatsnow.com.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jobs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
The show is Free Talk Live. We only have a few moments remaining, but just enough time for your call if you make it now. 1-800-259-9231. The Packet8.net toll free line for you. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com, the place to go. All kinds of neat features, all totally free. Though we do ask you to voluntarily support the show by becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier. Head over to amp.freetalklive.com and get involved. It's $3 a month. That's all we're asking for. Now, you know that all the features on our website are completely free, so this is above and beyond all that. This is for those of you that, you know, they really like the show, really want to help us get on more radio stations, because that's what AMP is doing. It's also getting us more internet listeners as well. It stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote, and the idea is simple. You send in $3 a month via either PayPal subscription or automated credit card sort of deductions, and we take that money in and we turn it around into promoting the show. We buy industry advertising in, say, for instance, Talkers Magazine to promote the show to more radio stations to get on more and thereby get more listeners. We also buy internet advertising as well. There's other things we're doing with the money, and they're all enumerated there at amp.freetalklive.com. So you can see where the money's being spent. And you also get perks. You get access to the amplifier-only call-in lines, the amplifier-only forum, and a few other things as well. So take a look and get behind the show, like over 350 of our listeners have decided to do, voluntarily, of course, at amp.freetalklive.com. So we've been talking about decentralization. We've been talking about governments versus no governments and the marketplace providing services. And a few hundred years ago, some people here in America were getting a little bit upset about what one King George III, I believe it was doing at the time. What was happening back then, Mark?
On March 1765, Great Britain imposed the Stamp Act. Upon
March 17th?
March of 1765.
Okay, gotcha.
Great Britain imposed the Stamp Act upon the American colonies. Although there had been other taxes upon the colonies, the Stamp Act was by far the most far-reaching. The Stamp Act, unlike any of its predecessors, was a direct tax. The Act declared that all printed materials, including newspapers, pamphlets, bills, legal documents, licenses, almanacs, and playing cards, were to be stamped and taxed.
Wow.
July 1765, the Sons of Liberty, an underground organization, opposed the Stamp Act. It was formed in a number of colonial towns. Its members used violence and intimidation to eventually force all of the British stamp agents to resign and also stop many American merchants from ordering British trades goods.
Were those guys insurgents?
I would think that the Sons of Liberty, the founders of our nation, were insurgents.
Mm-hmm.
including some of their activities like, I don't know, the Boston Tea Party, when they went and threw all King George's tea in the water.
Mm.
You know, it's strange that they went crazy over, what was it, 2-cent tax?
Yeah, I think it was a 1% tax or something like
some
that.
Some meager little amount that our founding fathers...
To us, it seems meager. Right. To them, it was an outrage.
We, you know, we get taxed something like 50% if you consider all the income tax, the property taxes, the sales taxes, the state income taxes, all the other taxes that we pay. You know, 1%? Man, I'd love to pay a 1% tax.
Mm-hmm.
But that was too much for our founding fathers. November 1st... 1865, excuse me, that was 1765, was scheduled to be the first day of business under the Act. Most businesses and legal transactions in the colonies cease as the Stamp Act goes into effect, with nearly all the colonists refusing to use stamps.
Huh.
In New York City, violence breaks out as mobs burn the royal governor in effigy, harass British troops, and then loot houses.
We don't have enough effigy burning going on today in America.
I think this looting houses is a real shame. I would, I would hope that they would just go after the government, but it looks like some people lost some private property, and that's kind of how violent revolutions are. King George, finally on March the 17th, 1766, King George III signs a bill repealing the Stamp Act after much debate.
Well, this isn't working.
Yep. In English Parliament, which included an appearance by Ben Franklin arguing for repeal and warning of possible revolution in the American colonies if the Stamp Act was enforced by British military. The Stamp Act really was the first of the grievances to unite the colonies against Great Britain. There were more subsequent taxes of the colonists' liberty, but the colonists were now vehemently opposed to draconian rule by the Crown of England. The Sons of Liberty stayed around to show the world just what the colonists thought about government-imposed trade monopolies and taxes upon tea in the Boston Tea Party of 1773. It's funny how our nation was founded by a bunch of tax protesters, but now we just get behind the idea of tossing somebody in jail if they don't pay their taxes to the American government.
Right now, if you're a tax protester, you're a kook.
These taxes were so much less. Our founding fathers were tax protesters. They did not want a big tyrannical government taking the fruits of their labors. They realized that they owned themselves, and that any government that took taxes off of their income was taxing them, you know, the fruits of their labors.
Enslaving
them. These are my hands. If I make something with these hands and then sell that something, you want to take a piece of it?
Who are you?
Yeah, apparently you own me.
Yeah. That's what essentially taxes are. It's slavery.
Right.
I mean, it's plain and simple.
If I want to do anything to make a living, I've got to pay taxes to the almighty American government. If I want to do buy and sell things, I've got to pay taxes, whether it's local or state or federal taxes.
Right.
It's all taxes.
I think
do not need this big, giant, inefficient government.
No, we don't.
I'm not saying that we don't need government in any places.
I'll say that, though.
I know you will.
Right.
I say that there's probably some areas where we could, the government taxes would be fine, like, say, gasoline for road taxes, some kind of fee for police services or something like that.
I like your observation, though, about how, you know, the country was founded by tax protesters, but nowadays we've got the case of Ed Brown, for instance, in Plainfield, New Hampshire. You might have heard of him. He's a man in his 60s, holed up in his home because the federal government wants to throw him in a jail cell, him and his wife, for the rest of their lives, because they decided they wanted to keep the money they earned, and they didn't pay out taxes to the Internal Revenue Service. And so now they're holed up in their home, waiting for the inevitable federal raid, which the feds claim they aren't going to do. Of course, the feds also want to sentence this guy and throw him in jail, so at some point, it seems like something's going to happen. But the way they're painting Ed Brown, this man who's holed up in his home, they're painting him as though he's some sort of crazy, kooky tax protester. When in fact he's just a guy who provided pest control services to people on a voluntary basis,
mm-hmm.
earned his living, and bought a house and retired with his wife, who happens to be a dentist, providing people services that they wanted to buy. These people are just regular folk. who just made a living. They never harmed anybody, but now the whole apparatus of the federal government is after them, and they're painting them with this brush of, well, these people are insane. These people are crazy for not paying taxes to the federal government. And it's a really, it's just a totally different mindset. And there are plenty of Americans out there who are just going to fall lockstep in with the government mindset and say, yeah, that's not fair. I have to pay taxes and they're not paying. They should be forced to pay. Throw them in a jail cell. It's just sort of a herd mentality of the American people today. And it's really sad. And of course, it's probably a direct result of government educating the American people. Now, back in the 1700s, I don't know if governments were in charge of the schools back then. I don't think they were. No, I think that happened in the late 1800s. So people were being independently educated by their family and their friends.
You know, our founding fathers really understood concepts of liberty and freedom a heck of a lot better than Americans do today.
It's true.
You know, freedom now in America seems to just be equated to democratic elections. If we're going to go free a country like we did in Iraq, well, they're free because they got to democratically elect
their rulers.
Their rulers. I don't think democracy equates to freedom. Freedom is the ability to do what you want to do when you want to do it.
As long as you don't harm someone else.
That's correct.
The responsibility angle.
That's the responsibility angle of it. I mean, it's still that freedom is what you want to do when you want to do it. Democratically elected government is just, you know, democracy is just two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
It's true.
You know, democracy managed to keep black slaves in this country. I'm not convinced. I'm not sold on democracy. I am sold on freedom.
Now, this is not typical what we do here, but I have a call coming into the amplifier line. Figure we'll take it on air completely unscreened because we've only got a few moments left. Who's this? You're on Free Talk Live.
This is the Christian Anarchist. Hi there.
Gene, only moments remain. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was listening to a podcast of, I think, 2 days ago, and you guys were talking about well-regulated militia, and I think it was Mark said something about well-regulated and kind of inferred that it meant controlled or restricted or something of that nature. But the meaning of well-regulated militia in the Second Amendment means a well-functioning or a well-trained militia. You know, guys that are on the top of their game, that's basically what it means. So regulated means well-trained.
I agree. I think we both actually agree with you, Gene. I think Mark was pointing out on that particular day that some people in the government would like it to mean otherwise. Government courts have essentially said that, well, this means that it's the government that must control and regulate these things, which, of course, is not the case. Gene, thanks for the call. It has been Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And it is, of course, the live Saturday edition, this being St. Patrick's Day, so a lot of people out on the town, out and about, bar hopping around, that sort of thing.
Be careful.
Please be careful. Make sure that if you're too drunk, take a cab home, get the car the next day, have a designated driver and all that good stuff, because we don't want any dead listeners come tomorrow. All right, and in the meantime, enjoy yourselves, have fun, enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you Monday online in the meantime at freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site. Amazon.freetalklive.com. That's Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Right now,